As times change, our bodies process medications differently. That's why it's important to talk to your doctor or pharmacist about your medications. For a free brochure, As You Age, Guides to Aging, Medicines, and Alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Scattered showers and thunderstorms will be moving on in as we head into the evening hours. Later on tonight, we are looking at the potential of some heavy rain, maybe some gusty winds, and some pretty impressive lightning out of those storms. Temperatures tonight into the low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine to start the day. That'll cook the atmosphere up a little bit, producing some showers and thunderstorms and highs near 85. I'm meteorologist Sally Russell from the Weather Channel.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight's Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. 6.5 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Head On for a Wednesday night, and you know what Wednesday night is. It's a prayer meeting edition of Head On with me, Bob Kincaid.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Amen, Mrs. Douglas.
Oh, so where do you want to go tonight? It's up. I'll leave some of this up to you. Of course, the phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967, and you are free to chime in. The email is bob@headonradio.com, and what I don't read on the air, I certainly try to respect Kincaid. Also, of course, you know, we stream live for you on the Internet, WNRNewsTalk620.com. There's also a portal there. You can jump through it to my site, HeadOnRadio.com, and avail yourself of the message boards and the fracas that those certainly are. And, of course, they're free to you just to... Now, this thing, yes, of course, the news began with the Michael Jackson trial update. I'm going to start banging my head into a wall pretty soon. Well, Bill, they're not doing anything again today. Turning into a Monty Python sketch. When nothing. No severed head in the hedgerow by the side. Embarrassing. Truly. But one of the other little stories that has been creeping around, this, I found it at Yahoo News. You got to see, and this is one of the limitations of radio, of course, you've got to see the photograph that goes with this story. Headline, Man with Chainsaw Allowed to Enter U.S. On April 25th, Gregory Dupre arrived at the U.S.-Canadian border crossing at Calais, Maine. He was carrying as follows: a homemade sword, a hatchet, a knife, brass knuckles, and a chainsaw stained with what appeared to be blood. Customs agents confiscated the weapons and fingerprinted Dupre, and then they let him loose into the U.S. because he's a naturalized U.S. citizen. And when he was finally arrested, what was he arrested for? We'll get to that. He told a judge that he's affiliated with NASA, and he was on his way to a Marine Corps base in Kansas when he was arrested. Again, you have got to see the photo of this guy. It's on the front page of the Gazette today, too. I looked at I thought I was looking at a rendering from a video game. Yeah. Go to Yahoo News, maybe search Man with Chainsaw. You're probably... After you take a look at the picture, you'll understand why he was allowed into the United States. Now, had he been a little darker complected, he hadn't been so doggone cotton-picking white, maybe he would have been stopped. Border. Every yammerhead right winger from Hannity to O'Reilly to any of the various and sundry others would have been screaming about chainsaw massacre and Mexicans slipping into the United States. You know, if this guy had had a name, anything but Gregory Dupre, if he had been Jorge or Juan or Jose or Gregorio Felipe, he never would have gotten out of the customs office, and let's not have any more lather about, well, he was a naturalized U.S. citizen even though he was carrying a blood-soaked chainsaw. The guy had carved up a Canadian couple, a country musician, 74-year-old named Frederick Fulton, decapitated him. Ah, John Kepi has just seen the photograph. Yeah, you know, that looks normal to me. Ah, let him on through, Fred. He's American. Oh, brother. Bugs Bunny. Oh, Margaret. And one of those scary-looking Mexicans. Woo! Decapitated Frederick Fulton and Muslim connection. I was obviously, you know, Sean Hannity can play his little theme song about, obviously, one of those Al-Qaeda cell members. I hate, I don't know, just for the hell of it, get a look at this guy. Tell me that George Bush makes you. No, I asked, given the fact that George Bush's approval tank, I asked a question, to wit, where is the next terror alert? Four men detained in terror probe. Son in California were charged with lying to federal agents about the son's training at an Al-Qaeda camp in Pakistan. Of course. Are you afraid? Be very afraid. Are you afraid? Yes, I'm afraid. 9/11. Run. Hamid Hayat, a U.S. citizen, was interviewed by the FBI. Then he was given a polygraph test and admitted he attended an Al-Qaeda camp in Pakistan. This was an Al-Qaeda camp. This wasn't the, the Rockhurst religion industry rifle camp in North Carolina, so, you know, got to be really worried about this. And what were they, in the course of weapons training, Hayat said photos of President Bush and other American political figures were pasted onto targets. Government potential targets for Hamid's attacks included hospitals and, large food stores. Supposed to be afraid. You are patriotically required to be afraid. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On. Any of you guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from Gold members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our fun local events.
Cupid.com, advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
We're there. Where there's a search.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
We're there. When disaster strikes.
We're one volunteer force.
Helping each other.
And simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
It's United Way's first annual United Way Golf Scramble, Saturday, June 11th at Willowwood Country Club. It's sponsored by Summers County ARH Hospital. Entry fee is $30 per Willowwood member, $40 for a non-member. That includes green fees, cart, beverages, lunch, and door prizes. Tee time is 1 o'clock. There's a limited number of golfers allowed, so please make your reservations today. Just call 253-2111. 253-2111. The United Way Golf Scramble, Saturday, June 11th at Willowwood Country Club.
WWNR Beckley. Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Alrighty then. Love the comment in the story about the saw dude. We can't detain people just because they look strange. But just because they look strange and they're carrying a bloody chainsaw and a knife and a sword and a hatchet and a pair of brass knuckles. Possession of brass knuckles is a criminal offense in this state. Not in Maine. Die, everybody has the brass knuckles up here, there, Bob. If the guy had looked strange and been Mexican, no problem. We got a little problem in the United States. We tend to think that, you know, if white, they must be good. It's like that looking strange that I got this because, you know, grown up Star Wars fans are. Grown up Southern Star Wars fans. Don't know where this came from, but some of this is fun. You might be a Jedi redneck. Yeah. Lightsaber to cut the bottle cap off a beer or open your coat. Jedi redneck if you call Hank Williams Jr. Master. Gun speed, or if your land speeder has a gun rack. Anger, fear, aggression. Yankees, the dark side are they. If your Jedi robe is camo, jumpstart your lightsaber from a car battery. Or if your father's name is Garth Vader, ever beaten up Han Solo for looking at your sister. You might be a Jedi redneck if your master. Anger, you will pull, Somebody out there in the wonderful world of might be a Jedi redneck if you ever heard the phrase, may the force be with y'all. Redneck, if you ever fantasized about Princess Leia, lightsaber is a bug zapper. And it's your uncle. Uncle Bay, jam your head on.
Oh, good evening. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good, good. You know, you were talking about, were you talking about computers earlier? I heard you make a reference to something about that.
I don't think I was.
Oh, anyway. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, I was talking about this creepy-looking dude that came over the border from Canada, found his picture.
Oh, I see. You know, I understand, speaking of coming over the border, that the National Health Service is really worried about diseases that are coming over the border, like, you know, dengue fever, polio, and all kinds of things which we have sort of eradicated. And now they're saying it's almost in a crisis mode. Because, you know, Bob, if you got a polio shot back when you were, say, you know, whenever, I remember when the vaccine came out.
Yeah.
And you're in your 40s or 50s, guess what?
You're not immune anymore.
That's it. You got it.
Well, we found out, I've got some of the best. We found out the hard way about the failure of certain immunizations. I got measles when I was, you know, afraid. And I'd been inoculated.
Mm-hmm.
And the day that the doctor diagnosed me, he looked at me and said, "You know, we had a notice come in of some of these batches weren't effective. Guess we gave you some of that."
My goodness gracious!
Yeah, well, thanks a million.
What a nice thing to tell somebody.
Yeah, welcome to the measles.
Well, you know, I just have a few facts and figures for you, not a whole lot. It said that Bush's approval rating has dropped 40%.
Yeah,
and 80% of the American people simply believe that those people inside the Beltway are somewhere on planet Claire and are not in tune with the rest of what the country, is, you know, is about. And, you know, I was flipping channels last night and I caught Chris Rock and he was talking about Michael Jackson. Of course, I can't repeat what Chris Rock said, but, you know,
yeah.
He certainly was laying it down. He was laying down the law and he said all this stuff about Michael Jackson and his sister and this, that, and the other is simply a diversion of somebody to keep our attention off the things we need to be focusing our attention on, like a war we can't win in Iraq and some of the economic policies that are being pursued by the administration. I mean, you know, he was just kind of, he really, normally, is not political.
He took a few shots at the Oscars.
Well, I mean, political in the sense of just, but as far as bullseyes, you know, in his own way. And, you know, he is one smart guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he's hilarious. I love him. And, yeah. You know, a lot of people would find him defensive.
No. He's a scream.
And, you know, he is. But, I mean, he really hit it right between the eyes.
Well, good. The more people that do that, the better off we are. You mentioned, you know, the number of people that think George is doing a rotten job and the number of people that think Congress is out of touch, that kind of thing. Again, I come and I'll pose the question to you.
Sure.
Because I asked it last night. This is the same 60, 70, 80% of people that said just a couple of years ago that there was nothing better we could do than bomb the snot out of Iraq. Now, what's happened?
Well, I think people have just begun to see exactly what this war is and exactly what this most dangerous nation on earth that we managed to so-called conquer in, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And they realize how much blood and treasure it's costing. And, you know, people, we don't have, in my opinion, Americans have never been very patient with outcomes of wars like this. And as far as I'm concerned, these are my own words, this is a colonial war.
No, sure it is.
And, you know, this is, as far as I'm concerned, this is capitalism in its highest state, which is imperialism. And I think that's what it's all about. And I think people are in this country are beginning to realize that. I mean, I hope that some are. And 80% of the people think that the people who are representing them out inside the Beltway are not really being proper stewards of what they've been sent there to do, which includes, for example, giving Bush war powers to get us involved in this mess. I think people have just begun to realize that it's a pretty sad situation. It's no longer a war in which we were looking at streets in Baghdad over closed-circuit television or cable. I mean, this is something that's come home now. And everybody thought that this was going to be just a quick thing. Everybody home by Christmas, this, that, and the other. And now this war has degenerated from a war of movement. That's my computer. I'm doing a scan, a scan disk. Looking at the arrows and it makes weird noises.
I understand.
I didn't want you to think that, you know. Anyway.
I thought the mothership had just landed, Jim.
I would hope so. If it did, I would say, beam me up, Scotty. I want to go first. Just take my cat with me. But I mean, you know, let's just face it. It's degenerated from a war of position and movement and accomplishment into a war of position. And from position, we're going to stagnation, and we are not really accomplishing anything. And look what's happening in the neighboring states around there. Look who's come to power in Syria, Hamas.
Yeah.
And already, you know, Jack Straw has sent his representatives to deal with them on a diplomatic level. They're going to have to.
Well, I don't see how. But I want to ask a follow-up question to, you know, are these the same people that were running in the streets saying, bomb Iraq? You know, they were whipped into that frenzy by 9/11, of course.
Of course. I mean, it's like in August 4th, 1914, you had people running through the streets of Moscow with a Tsar's picture in their hands. And 3 years later, what were they doing? They were looking for him, and they were trying to kill him.
Right.
You know, the tide of public opinion just changes very quickly, my friend.
Is this something you can just find throughout history that the whim of the masses is extremely malleable and can be bent to whatever end is sought? And, I mean, if we get, God forbid, a big terrorist attack somewhere in the country, will this same fickle mob turn around and decide that it's time to bomb the snot out of what, Myanmar? You know, think of the most helpless country on earth that couldn't possibly do us any harm. If George Bush wants to gin a war up against him, will they get behind him?
I don't know. Some will, some won't.
I mean, I think back to the historical precedent, and we've mentioned it before, when we had our own little revolution. Less than 50% of the people living in the colonies were behind it. And by the time the war was over, you couldn't find anybody who had supported the king. This is disturbing. This is disturbing in anything that hopes to hold itself out as a republic founded on democratic principles.
Well, I don't know. I guess I really can't adequately, excuse me, answer your question, but I can say this. You know, victory has 100 fathers and defeat is an orphan.
That's the truth.
Maybe that's what's driving the whole train, maybe. In my mind, I don't know if you see it that way or not.
Well, that may be. I just think back to what Rick Goodner said about what he's identified as the Fox syndrome. You know, does this mean maybe that the viewership of Fox has gone down? I really don't understand how, honest to God, how the same nation that says let's go bomb some babies in Iraq can then turn around and say, well, you know, not such a good idea after all. I mean, are we just stupid?
Well, you know, I think the reportage and the quality of the stuff that you see on Fox is just
garbage.
It's garbage, and eventually, you know, at first, it was sensational. It was different. It was fun for some people, but I mean, people like Hannity and Combs and O'Reilly and, you know, the other idiots they have on there, I think maybe could it be that people are beginning to wake up and see exactly what's going on here?
Well, Jim, that's the optimistic view. Sure enough.
I mean, if you go to the RNC building down there on D.C., I forget where it is. I think it's somewhere. I mean, I could take you to it. I'll guarantee if you walk in there, that's the only program they're playing there.
Oh, without a doubt. Hey, Jim, we've run over. I got to take the break.
Yes, sir.
All right, take it easy. All right, break time when we come back. Well, there's something coming up in Washington you should know about, especially the values voters. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Boone County man has been accused of stealing tens of thousands of dollars worth of mining equipment from a Pennsylvania company. Federal prosecutors say 26-year-old Christopher Priestley of Seth was charged yesterday with conspiracy witness retaliation charges. Charges are related to the January 04 robbery of New Enterprise Styles, Pennsylvania. Prosecutors say Priestley and two other men stole $25,000 worth of electrical equipment. The men planned to bring the stolen Boone County for resale. If convicted, Priestley faces up to 10 years prison, $500,000 fine. Beckley police continue investigating a rash of home break-ins in the Johnstown Road area. Police say 10 homes have been broken into. Temple Street, two on South Vance Drive, homes on Hartley Avenue, Clough Street, South Kanawha, Maplewood Lane, and 9th Street. The item includes CD, DVD players, and jewelry. Robberies, a resident woke up to find three burglars, one white and two black. The black suspects are both described as about 5'10", slim build, and the white suspect is described also slim build. Traffic moved later this morning in Oak Hill after city police say a tractor-trailer driver was traveling southbound around 3:30 this morning when he apparently lost control, crossed the median into the northbound lane, and then struck a guardrail before striking the Pea Ridge Bridge. The bridge suffered only minor damage. The truck was carrying plastic pellets and no hazard spilled onto the highway. Police say the driver may have fallen asleep. He was treated for minor injuries. News, here's the forecast. This evening, showers and thunderstorms. Some thunderstorms could contain heavy rain tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some of that should end with the temperatures tonight around 60. And then for tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
General Motors is cutting 25,000 jobs by 2008 and will increase its exportation of jobs to cheap overseas labor markets. The United Auto Workers' Richard Shoemaker says the union is not convinced that GM can shrink its way out of its current problems, but instead what's needed is an intense focus on rebuilding GM's market share. The UAW had no one available for a recorded comment when contacted on Tuesday, but New York industrialist Jack Davis, who owns a factory that helps supply automakers, says outsourcing of these good American manufacturing jobs hurts America. He says what's needed are public policies to protect good U.S. jobs, and GM should be calling for tariffs to balance U.S. global trade.
I'm out there saying we should be protecting jobs. We need tariffs. And why they don't, well, a lot of these guys are up in the stratosphere wage bracket, too, where they don't see the problem. They probably aren't even thinking about it. They were taught that free trade was good in high school or college, and they believe it. It's not working. It's not working.
Davis says the real impact of these GM job cuts will be 25,000 times 7 to take into account the jobs depending on GM that will be lost due to this cutback.
Verizon Wireless is being scrutinized for firing a Connecticut worker who used up all her sick time while her husband was in Iraq. Kara DeWitt says she used the time to stay home to care for her two daughters when they were sick. Shortly after her husband, Dale DeWitt, returned from serving in Iraq, she came down with pink eye and a stomach bug, so she took two additional days. According to Cindy Vines of CWA Local 1298, that was when Kara was fired.
She wasn't allowed any sick days after he came back, so she was supposed to go 7 or 8 months without taking a day off.
Although DeWitt is not a member of the union, the local is still representing her. Verizon says they went above and beyond to help DeWitt, but the union says when she tried to use vacation time for sick leave, it wasn't allowed.
They're a giant corporation. They could have done, obviously, a lot more. We don't know of any other instance where someone has been fired. Their husband was serving the country.
A rally was held at the Verizon office in Meriden, Connecticut, where her family received support from the president of the Connecticut AFL-CIO and state attorney general Richard Blumenthal. Dale was originally deployed for 6 months, but was kept in Iraq for 19 months. Kara had their second child while he was deployed. The union does not officially represent any Verizon workers in Connecticut.
Here's today's Dow Bob report. As GM prepares to ship more work and jobs overseas, evidence continues to pile up that for working people, free trade agreements like NAFTA are hurting more than helping. U.S. exports have gone up to Mexico, but Mexican imports into the U.S. have shot up by far more. The U.S. trade deficit with Mexico and Canada under NAFTA has soared by 378% in all since NAFTA was implemented. Result, according to the Economic Policy Institute, NAFTA has led to job losses in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Just a little more, Dave. This is Head On. A reminder, 620-9967, especially the values voters. And I'd really love to know how you feel about this, especially those who... Now, we covered this a few weeks ago. So Mary Carey, whose real name is Mary, her buddy and company president Mark Kalkus, dinner with President Bush approximately 6 days from now, June 4th. This is the Celebrating Freedom Gala dinner thing, what's it's. And it's hosted by the National Republican Congressional Committee organizers. It's a 2-day course of events. For Sherry and Mr. Kalkus will be attending a meeting with Carl, giving their recommendations on important. Those of you, and I would expect the not to know who this woman is, professional porn star. Not looking up Mary Carey photos on the internet, are you? The real deal. She got busted 2 or 3 weeks ago at the grand opening of a strip joint, I think, in Spokane, or maybe Tacoma, Washington, because lewd and lascivious conduct, I suppose. She was getting a little too nudely lewd, or lewdly nude, too close to the patrons of the establishment, and arrested. Dinner at the Celebrating Freedom Gala. Posted by the National Republican Congressional Committee. They even, there goes Bob with another one of his kooky websites. Nope, sorry. There is a transcript out there. Question at the press gaggle to Slytherin Scott McCullen. Question, since the president is scheduled to attend a Republican fundraiser on June the 14th, which will also be attended by California gubernatorial candidate and porn star Mary Carey, what guarantee does the White House have that she will do nothing pornographic at this event? What will be done if she does? Answer by Mr. McQuillan. I haven't looked that far ahead. But it's important. It's only 2 weeks from now. You must have some plan, Scotty. That's another one. That's another one I'm just not going to get into dignifying. Didn't ask you to dignify it. He asked you whether or not what would be done if Mary Carey goes all naked and porno at the Celebrating Freedom Gala, as put forward by the National Republican Congressional Committee, in the presence of our moral values, cut your life president. Our moral values, cut your life president, who just happens to have the blood of about 100,000 innocent Iraqis on his hands, but never mind that. We'll talk about that. I do. I'm not dignifying that. Who asked him to dignify? It's a straightforward question. Woman who likes to get naked and have sex in front of cameras with various and sundry other individuals, be they boy or girl, is going to a fundraising gala. President of the United States. Seriously, the phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. I really, really, really need an upstanding moral values voter to explain to me what our upstanding moral values president is doing. Gala. Well, meanwhile, the guy who heads WorldNet Daily, that we have to rely on the right wing to point these. He writes yesterday, quote, I want you to imagine the squeals of, now this isn't me.
This is Brule.
See. No. This is not me. I don't know. Roses are bled, whatever. I want you to imagine, Farrah writes, squeals of outrage we would have heard if back in the 1990s, President Clinton spoke to a Democratic congressional fundraising dinner. Because you do remember, don't you, the great Sturm und Drang, precipitated by Al Gore allegedly using his phone. We spent $15, $20 million investigating it to find out that there was... But the family values Republicans are mute about just such an event scheduled for next week involving not Clinton, but George W. Bush. Last week, writes Farrah, Carl Forte, Communications Director for the National Republican Congressional Committee, explained to WorldNet Daily that self-described pornographer Mark Kulkus will be attending the two-day event, quote, the 2005, yeah, this is what it, yeah, okay.
2005 President's Dinner and Salute to Freedom.
Monday and Tuesday. Carl Forte, say, he said,
they paid their money. No matter what they do, the money's going to go to help elect Republicans to the House.
So, you Republican moral values voters, how do you feel? Looks like you just got used again, didn't you? You poor people. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame. Buried in shame. You are up to your pointy little ears in shame because you get used and used and used. We heard nothing but moral values until those of us on my side of the debate were ready to vomit with it. About halfway ticked off at the idea that we don't have any, and that, you know, you got to have a Republican membership card and certificate suitable. We had it rammed down our throats during the election cycle. Everyone from guy who's now Pope, you know, the Pope's who messed around, and everybody from him to various good, godly, upstanding man George Bush is, your president, because he's darn sure your president is going to dinner with dirty movie actress. Okay? Explain that one to me. I'm all ears. I want one of these people who thought it was perfectly all right for the Republican National Committee to get their hands on church directories and use that as a campaign tool. I want them to explain to me how it is that porn stars are begging. The pair, Carey and Kulkus, make no secret about why they want to be there, to buy influence with top political leaders, the Republican Party, and credibility for themselves and their... Look, I'm a liberal. I just don't care. You like to watch dirty movies? Cool. Are you over 18? No, because we know what Republicans generally are. But, you know, they're the primary consumers of this stuff. wacky Christian mid-afternoon DJ from Nashville, also carried away because on and on and on and on, these Republicans that are up to their neck, draw the line at kiddie porn. Children do it. Belly or ethics. I can never be a Republican because I don't like to associate with those kinds of people. So, and by the way, just so you'll know, Mark Kulkus, the dirty movie producer, he also serves as honorary chairman. Listen carefully, moral values voters. He's the honorary chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee's Business Advisory Council. Advises the GOP porn industry. Got it? Mr. Farah asks, and I wonder why the liberals aren't asking this. We're too doggone busy taking pot shots at Howard Dean because he says he doesn't like what Republicans have done to the country. Oh, this wingnut. Anyone Republicans won't take money from? Would they take money directly from the mob which backs most porn? Take money from white slave traders? Shh. Hey, Jack is with us. Hey, Jack, you're head on.
Hey, Bobby, am I really there?
You really are.
I've tried it before. You know, sometimes I hear you say some pretty hateful things against the Republicans.
That's because I don't like them, Jack.
Well, I can't put myself in that respect. What I'm going to say to you, I enjoy the president going out to his barbecues while them men are out there getting killed and not knowing who they're fighting.
Yeah, that's charming, too.
I had it all wrote down here, buddy. I'm just pretty short of my conversation.
Yeah, that's all right.
And I'm going to tell you something, bud. When you got men over there fighting, you don't know who in the hell they're fighting. And I don't know where they're coming from, but I hear the president going out there saying, oh, we're winning that. They're not winning nothing over, sir.
No, they're not.
I mean, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to kill little children and think you're going to wake up and say, hey, wait, we done this over here. No, sir, it's not going to wake up, Bob.
No.
I got off of my notes.
That's all right, but you know.
Sir, I'm sorry to call you.
Don't apologize. That's what's supposed to happen here.
Well, I thank you for taking my call.
That's all right, Jack.
I'm going to tell you something. America better wake up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And I'm going to tell you straight off this one thing. Republicans and Democrats will make this country, but the Republicans are doing something, and everything that Bush does, they think that's so great.
Yeah, and these moral values voters, Jack, they'll just sit there and blithely smile with that numb little grin on their face.
Yeah, everything's good as long as them boys over getting killed. Everything's so great. He can have his barbecue and everything he wants.
He can go to dinner with porn stars, Jack. Doesn't that just blow you away? This guy, this moral man, George Bush, is going to go and sit down to dinner with a pornographic movie star? I mean, I don't know. That kind of crawls all over me.
Well, something crawls all over me, too. I'm a songwriter. I wrote a song about America. He destroyed this. This time he destroyed my song. I was proud of America. I was proud of it.
Yeah.
But he's destroyed this. I can't put that song out there.
Jack, he has done with America what he has done with every other endeavor he has touched in his life. He has destroyed
it. I'm proud of my president.
Yeah.
No, sir. That ruined my song.
Yeah.
I mean, we try to get along with everybody. And Bob, I'm sorry, and I thank you for taking my call.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jack.
Man, there's so much I got to say about that. It's a shame. I can't see American boys over not knowing who the hell they're against.
Yeah.
Or nothing.
And dying for nothing.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Jack.
Okay.
Bye now. Yeah, Jack's right. Whether he's standing at a barbecue saying, we're turning the corner. Here's the corner that he's turning is into the doorway of the ballroom where he's going to sit down to dinner with Mary Carey. Does this not... I love this, the way he starts it out, though. Clinton got away with murder as president. Really? Huh, how about that? There were no indictments. Indicted bunch of political hack. Clinton got away with murder as president, but he probably would not knowingly have met publicly with pornographers. Who's going to take Bush to task? Why am I the only one who's... Here are all those family values allies of Bush now. Watch Mary Carey's movies, and that they are in their entirety. Hypocrites. That's all. Just hypocrites. top to bottom, that's the Republican Party in America, morally, ethically, philosophically, actually, virtually dead. W, the president, stickers on their SUVs who haven't...
Tomatoes. Hello, I'm Peter Strauss with today's Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro, makers of Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed, the continuous release 3 months. Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. Shake a little, grow a lot. When it comes to planting tomatoes, the most important thing to consider is where you locate your tomato garden. Tomatoes need at least 6 to 8 hours of full sun a day in order to produce well, and they won't do well in soggy soil. It has to be well drained. Here's another thing to remember. Tomatoes like their soil a bit on the acidic side, a pH of about 6 to 6.8. By the way, that's the pH at which most vegetables grow best. But no matter what kind of soil you have, it can be improved by adding some organic matter like compost or soil enhancer. Some of the best and most convenient enhancers are prepackaged garden soils made especially for vegetable gardens. These soils are rich in the kinds of nutrients your tomato plants need. Before transplanting your tomatoes, work the soil to a depth of about 6 to 8 inches. You want to make it easy for those tender roots to expand. This is also a good time to work in some fertilizer. Dig a small trench about 6 inches deep and put in your transplants. You want to bury the tomato plants up to their first leaves. The more of the stalk you can get in the ground at this time, the better, since it will sprout new roots. Fill in the trench and gently tap down the soil. Now, water it well and think about those wonderful tomatoes you'll be eating in a few months. If you're looking for great results in your garden, without a lot of work, try Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. It shakes on dry in just a few minutes and then feeds your plants continuously for 3 months. It's the quickest, easiest way to get Miracle-Gro results. I'm Peter Strauss.
News Talk 620 WWNR.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620 WWNR. Beckley, it's 8 o'clock.
Times change, our bodies process medications differently. That's why it's important to talk to your doctor or pharmacist about your medications. For our free brochure, As You Age, a guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Scattered showers and thunderstorms will be moving on in as we head into the evening hours. Later on tonight, we are looking at the potential of some heavy rain, maybe some gusty winds, and some pretty impressive lightning out of those storms. Temperatures tonight into the low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine to start the day. That'll cook the atmosphere up a little bit, producing some showers and thunderstorms and highs near 85. I'm meteorologist Sally Russell from the Weather Channel.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Yeah, ABC led with Michael Jackson again. Pretty soon they're just going to be interviewing each other out there. Well, Bill, anything going on in Santa Maria, California? Oh, actually, no, Fred. There's no news out here at all. What about Iraq? Fred, did anybody die in Iraq today? Ah, well, who cares? Sorry, I know I beat on it, but it just as a postscript to the whole president going to dinner with a porn story. Why should we be surprised? In all honesty, why should we be surprised? After all, this set a gay male hooker into the White House briefing room. Scott, what will you do if the gay male hooker pretending to be a journalist does something pornographic? Well, I'm not going to start dignifying that. To the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
What's going on?
If the little black jockey in your front yard is real, you might be a Republican.
Yeah.
Your daughter is a lesbian, your wife writes soft porn, you might be a Republican.
Yeah, Lynn Cheney. Oh,
if you don't have any relatives or know anyone at all serving in Iraq, you might be a Republican.
Oh, there's a good one.
I know it. You know at least one person who is a good Christian who is serving time in prison for molesting someone underage.
You might be a Republican.
You fudge environmental reports instead of breaking into the Watergate Hotel. You might be a Republican.
Where did you? Is this your own stuff?
Yeah.
God bless you, Chris. This is beautiful.
If you know Jeff Gannon and more than a spiritual nature,
you are
you might
a
be
Republican.
A White House press spokesman.
Yeah.
I heard, Kyle sent me that Star Wars stuff, and I was reading that, and then you started on it tonight, and I thought, you know what, we can do one better.
Oh, I think, you know, and maybe that's how these lists get started, Chris. You know, somebody comes up with, you might be a Jedi redneck if, or whatever, and it just goes through the email circuits until it's, you know, filled out. And I think you've got the beginnings of one there.
How about, I just thought of one. If you plan to run for president and you make a deal with Merck that your daughter can get all the drugs she wants and it'll be under wraps, you might be Jeb Bush.
You might be. Of course, now the old guy Bush says that he wants Jeb to run. Now, the conventional wisdom says that Jeb won't because he's saddled up with Noel, who has Alex Jones fit to make Jerry Garcia.
I met, I was going to meet the representative for the Roswell area, Roger Bedford.
Oh, yeah.
I met Roger Bedford and his wife.
Maudie.
Yeah. They're two real nice people.
Yeah, they are.
They've got a new, you know where the Hardee's used to be in Seven Points?
Yeah.
Well, there's a restaurant now, a Japanese restaurant there called Walk and Roll. Delicious food.
Oh, fun.
And I met, saw them in there, and I couldn't vote for you because you're not in my district, but if I could, you'd have my vote. All you'd have to do is run.
Well, you know, Roger came within a hair's breadth of saving Alabama from having Jeff Sessions for its senator.
I know.
He's a pretty admirable guy. You know, he fought a hellish battle with cancer.
Yeah. And the lawsuit and all that garbage about him, the land. I told him, I said, keep heads up on the tax where when a relative dies.
Oh, the estate tax, sure.
Yeah. And then on my way home, I was thinking, you know, why shouldn't he be up there down there? Why not? I mean, everybody, you know.
It's only dirty if a Democrat does it.
Oh, yeah. We've had some good.
I'm still waiting for somebody to explain to me how it is a Republican goes to dinner with a porn star and it's okay.
Who did he go to dinner with?
No, it's who he's going to dinner with, Mary Carey. California
gubernatorial
candidate.
President, sort of.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if he went to dinner with Nina Hartley, he might learn something. Because Nina's done all kind of self-help DVDs.
Oh yeah.
Who knows what she's talking about? But I'm just hardly anything fazes me with this guy anymore.
Well, no, we're numb to it. We're used to it, Chris.
That's the bad thing about it.
But what I want to know, I want this defended. I want to hear some pitiful, knuckle walking, mouth breathing Republican defend the fact that this upright, moral, best friend of Jesus is doing this.
Why don't we put it out there that he's going to have sex with her while they have the lunch?
Oh, they tried that, and you know they just answered. I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
Oh, so Jeff Gannon and his little tidy whities is going to be the well, it would shock her so bad that I don't want to.
Careful.
Oh God.
No. Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful. But
Mary, have you ever been to the good old Texas barbecue?
Yeah, I tell you what, work on that list, will you, Chris?
We roast swine. Not the ones we know that give us money, but the these are the ones that get in the dirt. Not the ones that we know, but
the other ones.
The other ones, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Chris, good to hear from you, man.
I will work on the list.
You do that. I think it's got real potential.
Why not?
All right, take it easy, man.
All right, bye.
Later. And let's go ahead and take our break. Come back. We'll do some more of your phone calls. 2-620-9967. This is Bob.
Head on.
Don't pump another gallon of gas. Don't pull a penny out of your pocket until you shop for your next car at L&S Toyota. Because at L&S Toyota, you get it all. Great gas mileage, great factory rebates, the best cars and trucks. You get it all. L&S Toyota has new Corollas with as much as 40 highway miles per gallon. Save with factory rebates up to $1,500 on new 2005 Tundras. Plus, choose from Toyota's certified used vehicles. L&S Toyota wants your trade. You get thousands more for your old car at L&S Toyota. It may be worth more than you think. You get it all. 40 miles per gallon. $1,500 factory rebate. Don't pump another gallon of gas. Don't pull a penny out of your pocket until you buy your next Toyota at L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. Or visit www.gettoyota.com. See ToyotaUSA.com for details. All rebates to the
Hey, look. It's a text message.
What's it say?
Here for you?
Really?
Hey, Cellular One wants you to get the message. We're here for you. That's right. Cellular One is here for you in Beckley, Pineville, Bluefield, Welch, Lewisburg, White Sulphur Springs, Oak Hill, and more places in West Virginia and the country than ever before. The company that Beckley Register Herald readers voted favorite place to buy cellular phones is here for you with loads of anytime minutes, including unlimited nights and weekends. Plus, Cellular One's here with flip phones, camera phones, even free phones. But most importantly, Cellular One is here with dependable local customer service. Really? So get a phone, get a plan, and get it now from Cellular One, West Virginia's only locally owned and operated wireless provider. We're here for you. Bring your home or wireless number to Cellular One and get free activation and a free phone. Visit your neighborhood Cellular One store for more information.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 16 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. And, of course, to the phones. Yeah. Hey, Ed, you're Head On.
Hey, good evening, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Pretty good. Glad to hear you got your garden in.
Well, some of it. I'm not happy with it yet, but, you know, those 108 tomato plants are a start.
108.
Yeah, I get a little out of hand.
Yeah, I thought I was bad putting out 140 when I had four kids, but you know it takes all of them just about.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I got Romas and I got Rutgers mostly. The Romas are great for sauce and things like that, and the Rutgers are great for everything. So you know, between making sauce and making tomato juice and then just canning whole tomatoes and this, that, and spaghetti sauce, that kind of thing. It'll take those 108.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to put out the big hybrids. I like these, what they call yellow stripers, the old Russian tomato.
Yeah.
And the pink ponderosa. I've got those.
Well, they had a few Brandywines left, and I got what I could of them. I love those Brandywines. They're real bad to blight, but man, there's no better taste in tomato.
But I'm on the follow up on, I picked up on a little bit of the conversation the other night about people that was in the market for trying to put you off the air. You know, my real feelings on that station stinks bad enough the way it is, and if it wasn't for you and Dr. Beal, and if they would mess up this balance, or what appears to be a balance, and it's obvious that the station supports Steve more than he does.
I don't necessarily think that's so. I mean, we do, Ed, we do, we've got Dr. Bill, we got me, we got Steve. I mean, I think that's a pretty fair spread spectrum, don't you?
Well, then you got Rush Limbaugh, who takes it down. And, you know, it's obvious where they stand. With me, it is. You know, that's my feelings anyway. But I just want to say to Mr. Sutherland or Southers, whatever his name is, that I think he's got a pretty good thing going there, and I hope that that none of them mess it up.
Well, it is a good thing, and I've got nothing like it going on anywhere in West Virginia.
Yeah, or probably anywhere. I mean, it's all right-wing stuff everywhere. But these programs are a way to get out the information, and all of them serves the purpose. When you listen to Steve, you know to go the opposite way he goes, just like he's going against everything on this. What's the big issue now?
The pension bond.
On this bond issue.
Yeah.
And then you got Rush Limbaugh. It's totally ignorant. And then you got you two guys. It makes a lot of sense to most of the people. The people that I talk to and know definitely back yours and Bill's program. And they like Steve because he exposes the ignorance in the Republican Party. But that be as it may.
I don't get to listen that much, Ed. Has Steve come out in favor of the pension bond?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that's funny because I mean everybody's welcome to their own opinion, of course, but Blankenship is against the pension bond,
yeah,
which makes me feel like I'm a little crazy.
People off, but I don't think it is. Maybe I don't know what his reason is for being against it, but that is unusual in itself. And but you can expect Steve to go against the general working man and the public on just about every occasion, but the other thing is Manchin's going to, and you know that shows again where he's at, to mess around with the Chamber of Commerce and people like that. He's going to be on his program Friday morning, but he won't take no calls, and that's really terrible. I got about three good questions to ask him on this thing.
Well, I know he's also going to be in town for a Chamber of Commerce breakfast. Governor Manchin is.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was given an opportunity to go, but that would mean leaving. Breakfast is like 7:30, and that would mean me leaving Shea Kincaid somewhere around 6 in the morning, and you know, to get home from work, and then you know, 2 or 3 hours of sleep. And nah, I wouldn't be any good there. So
yeah, well, I wouldn't go to it if they give me $100 to go to it. That's how I feel about all of them. And you know, it's just showing. And this middle of the road stuff, they can call it what they want to with him. But it is obvious to me that he's off balance to the right, and I'm just against him all the way.
Well, he is a very conservative Democrat.
But I wanted to, well, there's a lot of them like that. I call them, I don't even call them liberal Republicans. But anyway, I wanted to follow up on the union thing the other night. I picked up on part of it.
Yeah.
I want to tell some of them people that hoorahs their business and the preachers, they're looking for a 10% tax. Why in the world don't they back unions and big wages? That even affects their own income. You know, 10% of $600-$700 a week beats the heck out of $250. But, you know, their reasoning is just like you said. I heard your comments a while ago, and I heard part of them. Dreamer was laughing so much I couldn't get most of it. But anyway, the unions have made this, the working class have the privileges it does have in the areas of especially workman's comp and unemployment. I've personally worked on that. And that affects every non-union, every union and all. And then some of these businesses that they got over in Beckley are strictly against union. They want to keep, they'd break back the minimum wage to $3.50 an hour if they could.
Well, no, they'd really rather just eliminate the minimum wage.
Yeah. And you know, I know what that is. You know, when I started out as a combination machinist and welder, they paid me $1 an hour. And now I'm talking about this is back in 61. And my first pay check, they saw that I could do machine work too. That I got a big old quarter on the hour.
Oh, boy. Don't spend it all in one place.
Yeah, well, I stayed there, of course, about 2 months. Things started to open up in the early 60s there, and I went somewhere else. But I wanted to tell you, when they put Michael Jackson on, this stuff on, that pervert anyway, and why, what provokes those people?
Well, Ed, I don't...
this in the news.
Ed, I don't know if the guy's guilty or not guilty, but the point is, And I think I've got a lot of other people in agreement with me, Republicans and Democrats. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's not news.
No, it's not. And it's this Nancy Grace or somebody.
No, she just makes me sick.
Who?
She just makes me sick.
Yeah, she's a dang idiot. I'm not going to cuss.
There you go.
I listen to her, and it's every one of her programs is totally absorbed with that stuff. I just want to see when she's going to get off of it. I believe she'll bring that up if they hang him.
So
a month
right.
later.
No, I think you're right. And she, I can't. Somewhere out there, somebody must be watching this stuff, Ed, because if there were no ratings for it, you like to think that they wouldn't have it.
I'm watching it now to see if when they're going to finalize it. I'll turn across, and if they don't say verdict available, then I turn that stuff off right then. You know, I change channels.
Yeah, if we were talking about the Al Capone trial, if it was a trial of, you know, Dick Cheney, you know, Capone, Cheney, Bush, you know, some high level monstrous bloodthirsty thug, yeah, I'd watch, I'd pay attention. But even when the point here, Ed, is even when the jury goes out, even on one of those cases, there's no news happening. At that point, you're just saying, well, yeah, we're still waiting on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't
but
take.
But they go over this stuff, just every bit, a little bit they can grab onto, and just choke you to death with it.
Yeah,
I'm so sick of the name Michael Jackson that,
and
if
I'm
he
disgust-
was given $100 bill with one of his. Records, I wouldn't, or albums, whatever, I wouldn't buy one of them.
Well, you know, and I wasn't real thrilled to death with Jesse Jackson for running out there and buying for himself either.
Well, that's, you know, he, it just, Jesse Jackson pretty well, and I used to have a high regard for him way back there, but he has blown his balloon with me. I don't have any use at all for him anymore.
Well, I tell you what, grandstanding of any form, I don't much particular. You know, who's next? Which trial is next after Michael Jackson?
Well,
you know, it was Robert Blake, it was Kobe Bryant, it goes on and on and on and on. Anything, Ed, to keep the American people from looking at what they need to be looking at, paying attention to what they need to be paying attention to. It's the watch the birdie approach to our civic life.
Well, it's sort of like the distraction that's has put before us, you know, the fear stuff that I think I heard you mention here
yeah,
the other
be
night
afraid.
On this bomb thing. If y'all don't do that, taxes will go, oh, so what? They're going to go up anyway. I'd love to see them go ahead and turn this thing down. Let's see what they do. And if we
well, we'll be, if this thing's turned down, Ed, we will be punished.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all right. We're going to be punished either way, aren't we? Let's make it our choice instead of theirs. That, I feel that strong about it. You know, I'd rather pay up now. We're the ones that's behind this. We put these ignorant jerks down there. So since they made the boo-boos they made and didn't monitor, they're pretty good at setting up these funds and these plans, and then nobody monitors them. And look at how many years has it taken this bond thing?
This is a problem that's been years in the cooking.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm talking about, and
yeah.
I just urge the people to turn this down and then lean back and wait and see what they do, because, you know, they created it. Let's give it back to them. I say if you want to build a monster, build a cage for it, too.
A lot of truth in that. Ed, we got to roll.
Okay,
always good
Bob.
To hear from you, man.
Good talking to you.
Take care now. And we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. I don't want to just bring somebody on. We'll get a news update from Carl Mack, followed by... commentary from Jim Hightower. Of course, you know the phone numbers, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-9967. And again, because I try to remember, R620 on your West Virginia wireless phone. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Beckley police still investigating a rash of home break-ins in the Johnstown Road area. Police say 10 homes were broken into in the past month. Three near Temple Street, two on South Vance Drive, as well as homes on Hartley Avenue, Klaus Street, South Kanawha Street, Maplewood Lane, and 9th Street. The items stolen include CD, DVD players, jewelry, totaling up to $10,000. During one of the robberies, a resident woke up to find three burglars, one white, two black. The black suspects are described as 5 feet 10, slim build. White suspect is 6 foot 2, also slim build. Police are not sure if all the break-ins are related. Police are also investigating seven breaking and enterings at city businesses this past month, but those are spread out. Anyone with information should call Beckley Police concerning these break-ins. The number 256-1708 or Crime Stoppers at 255-7867. City Police in Oak Hill say a tractor-trailer traveling south around 3:30 this morning. When the driver lost control, he crossed the median into the northbound lane and struck a guardrail before hitting the Pea Ridge Bridge. The bridge suffered only minor damage. The truck was carrying plastic pellets. No hazardous material was on board or spilled on the highway. Police think the driver may have fallen asleep. He was treated for minor injuries. The northbound lanes on Route 19 in Oak Hill were blocked for about 3 hours before reopening just before 8 this morning. In other news, the Progressive Party swept yesterday's municipal election in Sophia. Mayor Danny Bear won a fourth term. Harry Taylor was elected for the first time to the position of town recorder. Taylor had been appointed to the job in 2001 and again in this past April. Unofficial returns show that three newcomers will join current member Jim Bailey on Bluefield's board of directors. Bailey had a two-vote lead to take the fifth at the large seat on the board, but officials say the results could change after the official vote canvass, and that is next week. Here's the forecast for this evening. Showers and thunderstorms. Watch out for some possible heavy rain. Then tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms will taper off around midnight. The area becomes partly cloudy then with a low near 60. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon again with tomorrow's high near 80. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Last year, the American Jobs Creation Act was signed into law by George W. So, how many created? Well, gosh, say later on. Golly, say the bush at all, but a boondoggle for huge corporations giving them a massive tax cut. For years, these giants have used loopholes that let them shelter their profits in various tax havens around the world. Time when they want to bring this stash home. But goodness gracious, this would require them to pony up their taxes. No problem for them, though, for this is why they hire hordes of lobbyists and make big campaign donations to lawmakers. They simply got Bush and the Congress to declare a tax holiday for them, letting them repatriate their hidden cash at a tax rate of only 5%. A fraction of the normal rate and way below what we working stiffs and small businesses pay. This corporate tax dodge is so stinky that it needed some perfume to get it through Congress. So the Bushites called it a jobs bill, promising that the companies would invest these billions in new operations here at home and hire workers. However, they put no requirement in the law that the tax dodgers would have to do any of this. Guess what? They aren't. Pfizer, Inc., for example, will haul at least $28 billion home from its international tax hideaways. Far from using this pile to create jobs in the good old USA, Pfizer says it will cut thousands of workers over the next 3 years. Asked about the ethics of this, Pfizer says curtly that it's following the intent of the law. This is Jim Hightower saying, yeah, a law your lobbyist wrote. It should be called the Corporate Tax Cheat Forgiveness Act.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. It is Head On Edition. Still waiting for an explanation from some Republican as to why the moral values president is. David is with us. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Well, Bob, at least we know the porn star, should she be female, is safe.
Yeah.
Okay, leaving that alone, I want to clear up something I've been meaning to do for months and months and months. I want to thank your station for having a mature, well-spoken, possessor of great diction newsreader in Mr. Carl Mack.
Isn't he wonderful?
Indeed he is. You guys are truly, truly lucky to have him, because so many of these big market stations go out and get these interns that barely are old enough to vote, and if there's a town of 6,000, 25 miles from the metropolitan center where they work, they don't know how to say the name of the town. I just don't see Carl making that mistake.
No.
He always sounds like he's got a grip on all those wonderful names you have in West Virginia, so I think you guys are in possession of the Carl Castle of Beckley, West Virginia, and I mean that in sincere compliment.
Well, I will. I think we just powered down, so he probably just lost us. He listens when he goes home in the evening. Kudos.
Just big thank yous, because it's always a pleasure to listen to him. But now then, why Michael Jackson and items of such ilk?
Okay.
I can get it to you, and it's going to be wonderful to see the similarities and know where this originates from. It's a fairly large circle, but I'll get it closed up pretty quickly.
Okay, take your time.
I just listened to a wonderful interview. Two journalists that lived the previous 4 years in Russia, most of it in Moscow, and they've just published a book, which is The New Russia, The Russia Under Putin. And they were describing some of the things that go on there and how Putin is essentially recreating the power of the old Russia, but with a slicker exterior. And one of the ways he's done that is through management of all news, not as heavy-handed as it used to be, not as overt as it used to be. But a few years ago, when he first went into office, he would go home, he would watch the evening news, he would make notes, and he would have a brief press conference the next morning. It would involve licensing people, it would involve the media, and he would tell everybody what he didn't like about the news. And pretty soon, all of the news began to soften and things began to fall into place, and then with one of those little sleight of hand tricks, like he just nationalized all the gas, the biggest part of the gas oil companies,
right.
He nationalized the major TV outlet. Now then, here's the part of this that becomes really interesting to me. Do you remember about a year and a half ago when Chechen rebels took over a school toward the beginning of the school year, and there were dozens and dozens of murders, injuries? The carnage was horrible. The carnage was broadcast live by CNN, by one other worldwide outlet, with one major exception. Mr. Putin would not allow that on Russian TV. They watched soap operas. He didn't want them to be disturbed or to know that his war in Chechnya and the way he prosecuted it, the way he pushed it,
had come home.
So all of Russia watched soap operas while school children were being dismembered and murdered.
On a much lighter comparison, Heidi Bowl. Remember that?
Oh yes, I was watching that. I am old enough to, I can truthfully say, I'm not like the 2.5 million that now watched residents of Atlanta that watched Hank Aaron hit that ball out of the stadium to break Ruth's record. I'm not part of the 2.5 million that were there that night. I actually was watching. Originally, it was only about 28,000, but by now it's 2.5 million. I was indeed watching that when the Raiders, it was crucial, and Daryl the Mad Bomber, LaMonica, was having a great day, and suddenly we had the sweet little goat herd in, I guess you would say.
We're proud to bring you Heidi. But that is, we've American media, Heidi Bold.
It's even uglier than that, and it's true, and all of these things. Why in the name of the good Lord is anybody given any credence, any interest? You cannot turn on right-wing media right now without hearing about John Kerry's grades in college compared to W.
Oh, I know. I know.
Is that the most ridiculous thing going? There are huge issues. I mean, just within the last few hours, some journalist pried the document out of the hands of the people that were reviewing the Kyoto Agreement and what should be done about that. Captains of industry, several of them, testified that should the U.S. sign on to the Kyoto Agreement and begin to limit greenhouse gases, it would be profitable, in addition to being good for the earth, and industry across the board could at the very least break even, if not profit, and at the end of the day, one major ugly oil company, ExxonMobil, said, no, we're not for that. And Bush has said for six straight years, industry said it was bad for America. I can't let it happen. Well, one industry segment said it was bad for them, not America, and we decided to go ahead and continue to rape the earth.
And, of course, that's the industry that counts.
You betcha. It's the one his family's invested two generations, well, one and a half generations. I'm not sure Bush, when a full generation is his advancement of the human race.
You're right. Scientists the world over, they've signed off on reports. The Royal Academy, the American Academy of Science, this is the greatest threat facing the human race, including Osama bin Laden.
Never mind the academics. American business.
Yeah, I know.
9 out of 10+, except for a couple of oil companies. We can make money off this. Let us play along with the rest of the world. Can we please go to the dance?
Yeah, Mr. President, don't let Henry Ford build that car factory, said the lobbyist for the buggy whip manufacturers.
Thank you. You know, the horseshoe lobby said, the hell with them Ford automobiles. No, sirree, not on my watch. I'm going to keep America traditional.
Yeah, traditional family horse riding values.
Exactly. There we have it. We may be on to something, Bob. You may have a new angle which to poke them in the ribs and, you know, tweak their nose.
Oh, but you're absolutely right. And the thing is, by comparative terms, what Putin did in Russia was a little bit slicker and was a little bit less heavy-handed, but the iron fist was still in salt. Bush didn't even have to go that far with American media.
It's where we're headed. How many times do you say, here's a story that is totally validated, here's a story that's 100% true, and you can't find it on broadcast news, except for maybe Pacifica or Air America?
Yeah, I know. And there's tons of it. Stuff and news stories. And it's been a quiddle here or a pass to print media. It was somewhat anathema that the Washington Post had to break down yesterday and say, well, the Downing Street memo just won't die. And you could read in the headline, and that's what it said, the story that won't die. And you could read it was like invisible ink made out of lemon juice in the parentheses of the headline. Damn it. You know?
You're exactly right, and I agree, and it's to a few people's credit, people like you, people that read, people that look around, that won't let it die. It was, and it's been tended less and looked to less. That story has had fewer people trying to get it exposure than anything.
Well, John Conyers is doing a brilliant job with it now. There's something like 100,000 signatures on his congressional petition now.
Good.
So it's not gone. But, you know, it was the same thing with Gannon. I mean, and if you apply the bill, and, you know, I don't want to just spend a lot of, but dadgummit, if you apply the Bill Clinton standard, i.e., if Bill Clinton did this, what would the right wing be saying? Okay? You wouldn't be able to turn on the TV. We wouldn't even be hearing about Michael Jackson right now for hearing about the Downing Street memo if that had happened on Clinton's watch. The same thing.
I would have had canvassers coming to the door of my home to remind me what a sleazeball he was.
Yeah, gay male hookers in the White House press corps. Can you imagine?
Not just casual contact. I mean factored in, woven into the fabric of going places without even signing their name. Oh, good evening, Mr. Gannon. Hi, Jeffy. Great to see you. Lock up when you leave, would you? You know, it was that bad with security. The guy came and went. Oops, hardly. He made his entrance and egress as he felt like around the White House.
I don't say felt. No, that's okay. You're absolutely right. And again, apply the Clintons, boom, riots in the streets, and we'd have, you know, number of people who were killed to keep the story. Jimmy Jeff Ganny got the male hooker in the White House press corps of the Clinton White House quiet. Look at the number of people who died at the Mena Airport in Arkansas. My goodness gracious, all to cover a gay male hooker. But there's only so much you can say about it, David. I mean, night after night after night, you know. By the way, guys, did you know there was a tall boy in the, and you know he was a pal of the White House secretary, and he came and went, and no, the Secret Service just kind of had to let him in like they had to let Monica in with the pizza box, and nothing.
And the next day in the press conference,
boop.
Ollie McClellan always thanked him for the great questions.
Yeah.
Well, at least Bob, please take heart. Always remember, tomorrow there will be a brand new gaffe, a brand new, fresh, steamy one. They'll drop another one in the punch bowl first thing tomorrow morning. You'll have more to pick from.
You know, Friday. Yeah, this past Friday night, after business hours, you know, General What's-His-Name issues the report saying, well, yeah, we had kind of pee on the Koran. But we didn't flush it down the toilet, but we peed on it. So Newsweek was really wrong, but, you know, we did kind of pee on the Koran. After business hours on Friday, and it's gone.
Oh,
down
yeah.
The memory hole.
Oh, exactly. And McClellan saying, no, I never said people died because of the Newsweek story.
Yes, you did.
He denied it three times.
I know. Without a rooster even having to crow.
Exactly. Finally, David. Oh, well, I guess I did. Next question.
And the funny thing is, you know, the liberal media just won't pick it up, which is just a astonishing to me, seeing as how they're supposed to be. But the other part of that equation is that we're too busy attacking our own. I mean, have you seen where, it was Joe Biden, appeasing Joe Biden, bankruptcy Bill Biden, who came running out to put a few shivs between Howard Dean's ribs because he had the nerve to say that there were some Republicans who'd never worked an honest day in their lives. And Joe Biden comes out to attack Howard Dean over that? Hell, no wonder we can't get him to look at the Downing Street memo. I mean, we've got the political equivalent of terminal attention deficit disorder.
Well, and cowardice. And I intensely dislike Biden because he will, in a well-presented, I would even say now that I feel like I know what he's truly about, slick manner, present a few things that sound good to me, and his absolute lapdog devotion to the evils of the credit industry, because so much of that industry is centered in his state, and that is one of the least personnel-intensive industries on the planet.
That's all computers.
It's all computers, and it's all $8 an hour people that don't do anything meaningful. I mean, you've got to go up to the executive vice president, and there's only about eight of them. It's one of the most top-heavy industries on the planet. Credit card rape of the American consumer, and Biden is up to his eyeballs in the muck of that industry.
Yeah, and so coming from that sleazy place where he is, he's got the nerve to criticize Howard Dean. You know, oh my. Hey, David, we got to roll on. I sure did. Thank you for...
Well, when I heard that loop closed about, we're not showing the Chechens doing their thing, we're going to show soap operas. Michael Jackson, Bread and Circus, new verse on the same old song. Thanks again, Bob. You're doing a great job.
Take it easy, David. Thanks. And Joe. Hey, Joe, you're head on.
Yes, Bob, are you there?
I'm here.
I can hear you fine.
Okay, great.
I'm calling from Hurricane, West Virginia. I've been listening to you on the Internet.
Oh, wonderful.
And I'm just wondering what we need to do to get you on the radio on from Charleston and Huntington stations because you are a breath of fresh air.
Well, thank you, Joe. Call some stations around there. Tell them you'd like to have me.
Yeah, I'll do that. I just listened for the first time a day or two ago and was listening just a few minutes ago. Just need to keep on keeping on. And I have come to the conclusion that George W. Bush is the worst president in the history of the United States of America, or at least he's in the worst three or four. And
well, you know,
so we need to get the word out about that.
Absolutely. And, you know, from historical perspective, for a long time it was said that Warren Gamaliel Harding, Harding was the worst that this country had ever seen, because he was pretty much a moron, too.
Well, you know, can you imagine, remember the war in Iraq started March 20th of 03, and by May 1st, President Bush took that flight out to the aircraft carrier and announced the major combat operations at an end.
Yeah, with that big mission accomplished banner.
Mission was fine. And then by, I think it was the 1st of July or thereabouts, some reporters were questioning him about why things weren't looking so good. So it was only a couple of months later. And they said, you know, we have these insurgents and they just don't seem to be going away. And remember Bush's comment was, bring them on.
Oh, Lord.
And what a ridiculous thing to say. Can you imagine Eisenhower saying that, or Kennedy, or Johnson, or Nixon even?
No.
I mean, what a ridiculous thing to say. And at the time he said that, my son, who was in the Marine Corps, was in Iraq, and a day or two later almost got killed in a mortar attack. So you can imagine how I felt when that happened.
Yeah.
Ridiculous comment. Swaggering cowboy foolishness.
It's what comes to of a man who has never lived in the real world. I mean, this guy has never had any reality anywhere near him. Whether it was the Bin Laden family propping up his early busted oil ventures, or someone cribbing his grades for him in Andover or Yale, or him getting a social promotion, or the Texas Rangers. I mean, for God's sakes, Joe, this guy part and parcel of trading Sammy Sosa.
Yeah. Not a very good move, yeah, and he has admitted at least that that was a mistake. But
it may be the only mistake he's ever admitted, Joe.
Yeah, when he was asked about that in a press conference, he kind of had the deer in the headlights look and just couldn't seem to think of anything to say.
Yeah, or what we like to think of as the my pet goat look.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I think of Bush, like you do, I guess, as a fellow who's never really known what I'd call a day of adversity in his life. I see him as a guy who until the age of about 39 was an alcoholic, coke-snorting, AWOL-going party boy, and to his credit, he got sober. I give him credit for that, but he's now on sort of that power-mad dry drunk that you hear about.
Right.
Some of the AA people. And then he got sober and decided he'd own him a baseball team, and his father's money and connections made that happen very quickly. And when he got bored with that, he decided he'd be governor of a big state, and that happened very quickly. And then the presidency as well. And so I just see him as a very weak, kind of an empty suit, sadly, really, he doesn't have anything. He's, remember Zell Miller at the Democratic Convention said, I know George Bush. Miller said, I know George Bush. He has a spine of tempered steel. I think that was a mistake. I think what actually was there was not steel in the spine, it was lead in the head, based on some of Bush's decisions and statements and so on. So I really appreciate your show, and I just think we need to
get you on
some other stations. And
I hope that can happen. Thanks so much. Thanks so much
for talking to you. And I'm just wondering if there's a way we could chat a little bit off the air sometime about that.
Or email me. Either way.
I think I have your email address. But I'm not sure. You better
Bob at headonradio.com, and I do try to rather faithfully answer my email.
Your email, and just want to check Bob at
headonradio.com.
I'll get in touch.
All right, do please, Joe. I look forward to hearing from you.
So long.
Take care. Always fun to hear. He has been waiting nigh unto forever. Hey, Lee, you're head on. Sorry you had to wait.
Bob?
Lee? Yeah.
Who built this country?
Working people.
It wasn't the union.
Well, in large part it was. If you want to talk about modern America, Lee, it certainly was.
I'll tell you what, it's a pitiful shame that all we hear is about union men. There's a lot of great qualified men that are not union, that can build bridges, that can dig ditches, that can build schools, that can do all kinds of things, and you don't have to be union.
Well, you know what? But you know what? All those non-union guys, guess what? They benefit from the efforts of union workers, whether it be workers' compensation, whether
they
it be good wages,
whether
it be pensions and benefits.
Because workers' comp is paid from by their employer.
Yes, it is. But workers' comp was created as a function of the labor movement.
But
so
it
the
still
same
makes
thing
no
with
difference.
Unemployment compensation. The
union,
same thing as with the eight-hour day, Lee.
I get very upset listening, union, and prevailing wage. Prevailing wage, if you'll watch these commercials on TV, and they just lead the public to believe that if you're not union, you're dirt.
Because prevailing wage applies to non-union as well as union, Lee. Nobody ever said anything to the contrary that I'm aware of. You know, thanks.
What I'm saying is that it's just that there's a whole lot of people in the United States that are very well qualified to do all kinds of sorts of jobs, and from what I can get from out of these commercials, it just makes everybody believe that if you're not union, you ain't no good, and if you don't have some type of card packing in your wallet, that you're scum.
Well, I'm sorry you see it that way, Lee. I'm grateful for, you know, thanks to unions, I had a decent middle class upbringing. Okay, thanks to unions. My father got to work a 40-hour week instead of being some sort of sweatshop slave. Thanks to unions, he couldn't be fired on the whim of his employer.
And thanks to unions, they let a lot of lazy men be kept on the payroll too.
Well, I've never seen that. I've never met one of those people. I've heard a lot of people talk about them, but I've never been. No one has ever been able to point to one person
until you have seen it firsthand, and you can go before the labor boards and show the person, let them look at them what they're doing.
So in other words, assuming for a moment that your position is correct, that there are lazy people in the unions, shall I assume then that no non-union people are lazy?
Then
we should eliminate
there's a lot of things in the union that you can go before the boards and you can prove your cases. And they would just turn the cheek.
If you hate unions that much, Lee, you know, hold on a little bit longer because George Bush is doing it.
Don't go that far. What I'm saying is this: all you hear, and I may be taking it wrong, and I hope I'm not, that if you're not a union person, that you're no good. You can't build bridges. You look at all the bridges that's been built
No one has ever asserted that position, and they're
getting good wages, and those bridges are not falling down.
Well, the wages they're getting are a function of competition with union. But the fact of the matter is, no one has ever said you're bad if you're not a union member. What we will say is that your life will be better when you are a part of one. I'm sorry we ran out of time, though, Lee. It's always good to hear from you. Take care. All right, time for a news break. When we come back, your phone calls, 252-6200, are all set on. Pro-union. I'm Bob Kincaid.
WWNR News Talk 620.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620. WWNR. Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Times change. Our bodies process medications differently. That's why it's important to talk to your doctor or pharmacist about your medications. For a free brochure, As You Age, Guide to Aging, Medicines and Alcohol, call 1-800-662-HELP. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Scattered showers and thunderstorms will be moving on in as we head into the evening hours. Later on tonight, we are looking at the potential of some heavy rain, maybe some gusty winds, and some pretty impressive lightning out of those storms. Temperatures tonight into the low 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine to start the day. That'll cook the atmosphere up a little bit, producing some showers and thunderstorms and highs near 85. I'm meteorologist Sally Russell from the Weather Channel.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock, the final hour of tonight's Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. An email from our buddy David in South Carolina. Subject, talking about hypocrisy. Talking about a revolution. No, David says, talking about hypocrisy, look at how the repug chairman tells a bold lie, yet Dean is criticized for speaking the truth about them. They don't call the other guy names? Woohoo! I guess I imagined that they called Clinton a murderer, a rapist, and so on, and the Swift liars did a number on Kerry, not to mention what Bush Jr. did to Maine. Asked about it on the Fox and Friends show, GOP party chairman Ken Melman joked that, quote, a lot of folks who attended my bar mitzvah would be surprised he heads a Christian party. Of course, a lot of ill. But, you know, I don't care if he's gay, but, you know, this is a guy who runs around, you know, leading a party that likes to have, would like to have gay people, you know, put in a gulag somewhere. Oh, no, not a gulag! Quote, we got to get ourselves beyond this point when we disagree about politics. We call the other guy names, he said. Oh, God, that's good. Thanks, David. That's just beautiful. See, I do remember when Adam's apple Annie Coulter, you know, that woman with the hands bigger than mine. I remember when she talked about how Hillary would laugh as she decorated the Clintons' private Christmas tree with condoms. I remember that. Oh, and of course, the Clinton Chronicles that were so patently and disgustingly false that even Jerry Falwell himself had to back away from selling. You know, the whole business about the Mena Arkansas. Oh yeah, I remember all that. So when Ken Closet Melman comes up and says, you know, people would be surprised to find out I'm Jewish. Well, if you're as deep in the closet about being Jewish as you are about being gay, Ken, I guess they would be. Thanks, David. To the phones real quick. Jim. Hey, Jim. You there?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
No, your question about Congress.
Yeah, so people can clear up. You had sent me an email today about this move to make Congress pay into Social Security. I responded by saying, had we not sorted that out, or something like that, right?
I think I'll send you an email about the alternate...
This was about the Social Security thing. Okay, well,
exactly what that is. That someone just, to tell you the truth, I didn't have time to read that, and I just went through it. But
yeah,
Congress is under came in before any federal employee for a career or Congress. If you came in before 1984, you're under CSRS,
right?
And you don't pay into Social Security. You have come in after 84, then you have to pay into Social Security, and you're no longer...
Right, so anybody elected to congressional office since 1984 does, in fact, pay into
Social Security. Yeah, it's what they told me, and also...
Well, that we had some controversy, or not controversy, but there had been an open question about that, and I thought we'd sorted it out.
Well, basically, what the system they're under, after 84, is called FERS.
Right.
Federal Employee Retirement System, which is a minimal amount that goes into a retirement. But you have to pay into Social Security. And also, then you can belong to what they call the CSP, which is created by the National Finance Center in New Orleans. And you can pay 10% of your salary, but the government will only pay 5%. How that works.
Okay. Well, I've seen it go around before. It's this thing about let's make
Congress. Well, somebody sent me that, and I don't know. I just forwarded it on to you. I didn't really read it. I said,
well, that was the nature of the question that I sent back. Okay.
Okay.
All right, great.
All right, by the way, you might want to, I don't know, you were mentioning something about the globalization, I mean the global warming, excuse me.
Yeah.
don't know if you realize this or not, but, you know, very recently, Vice Society of Rhode Island broke off from the Antarctic continent.
Right.
And the fact is that what people don't realize is that the reason the North American hemisphere has a warmer climate is because of the salinization of the water. You've got two currents that flow against each other, okay?
Right.
And if one current should become desalinated, guess what? We lose our weather.
Well, and we're seeing some of that already, if I understand.
Talk about the onset of the new ice age. Well, I mean, they found mastodons who were frozen so quickly that they still had food in their mouth.
Right.
And, of course, you know, that's when the first ice age quit. But, I mean, this thing about not global warming not being a reality, that's just ridiculous.
Well, I tell you what, I can tell you for a fact that there is an entire industry, Jim, that has developed around saying that it's one of these AstroTurf groups called the CEI. I think it's the Competitive Enterprise Institute or something like that. They look all independent and libertarian. They're directly funded by people like Exxon and, well, you know the usual rogues gallery. And for some reason or another, they've gotten hold of my email address, and I get one of their press releases about just about every day talking about what a myth global warming is.
Well, it is in fact.
And these scientists from the, L'Académie Française, the Royal Academy, the American Academy of Science, they all say it is the single greatest threat to humanity, maybe short of the Bush family, that the world faces.
Well, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about if that current should become so desalinated that it will no longer carry warmth from the equator to this part of the world. And you have other changes that are drastic and just completely hit this country and literally put this country into a new ice age. I mean, that I'm not talking about that movie The Day After Tomorrow.
No.
This is the truth. And, you know, the fact that more of these icebergs break off, you have more fresh water, and you have lower salt content.
Well, and just the people have tried to poo-poo the idea of rising water level. Look, you know, when an ice cube's in a glass of water and it melts, it doesn't change the level of the water in the glass. No, it doesn't. But if a big chunk of ice that was not previously in the water breaks off and goes into it, you drop another ice cube in, the water level does go up. And that's what happens when these huge chunks of Antarctica break off, or when these big chunks of ice at the pole find themselves back in the water. And you're right, that is fresh water as opposed to saline.
Not good at all. Listen, we're not on the air, are we?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay. Basically, I just wish you and your program, continued longevity.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. You take it easy now, all right? All right, and break time. When we come back, how about some family values? Sounds good, doesn't it? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
On. Don't pump another gallon of gas. Don't pull a penny out of your pocket until you shop for your next car at L&S Toyota. Because at L&S Toyota, you get it all. Great gas mileage, great factory rebates, the best cars and trucks. You get it all. L&S Toyota has new Corollas with as much as 40 highway miles per gallon. Save with factory rebates up to $1,500 on new 2005 Tundras. Plus, choose from Toyota's certified used vehicles. L&S Toyota wants your trade. You get thousands more for your old car at L&S Toyota. It may be worth more than you think. You get it all. 40 miles per gallon. $1,500 factory rebate. Don't pump another gallon of gas. Don't pull a penny out of your pocket until you buy your next Toyota. L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. Or visit www.gettoyota.com. See toyotausa.com for details. All rebates to deal.
Around the block, just up your street, where the neighbors you should meet.
An injury or illness could not only affect your health, it could put your finances in jeopardy. Anything from buying everyday items like groceries to saving for retirement could become a burden. That's why it's important you talk to your State Farm agent, Bill Straub in Beckley, Don Bowling in Oak Hill, or Maria Dooley in Richwood, about making health insurance an essential part of your financial plan. They can help you protect your financial health with competitively priced health insurance products from Assurant Health. For more information on health insurance from Assurant Health, talk to Bill Straub in Beckley, or Don Bowling in Oak Hill, or Maria Dooley in Richwood. Coverage is issued and underwritten by Fortis Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. No member of the State Farm family of companies is financially responsible for the product. Fortis Insurance Company is not an affiliate of State Farm.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
That's right, pickled on a jar on my desk. Plants on the jar. It was supposed to be in the jar, but these things just happen. 18 minutes after 9 o'clock, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah, it's family values time. Number of active duty soldiers getting divorced has been rising sharply with deployments to Afghanistan and Iraq. So now we've got broken military creating broken marriages. Officer Corps is taking it on the chin. Last year, Army officers' marriages ended in divorce, up 78% from 2003. That's the year that George started this war. It was more than 3.5 times the number of divorces in 2000 for the Afghan invasion. For enlisted personnel, divorces last year were 28% more than in 2003, up 53% from 2000. Now, I don't know if you were listening an hour and a half or so ago when we ran Workers Independent News. Who was it? The Communications Workers of America going to bat for a Verizon employee in Connecticut, a lady whose husband was supposed to have been deployed for 6 months and it turned into 19, and her life and his life are being ruined. That's one of the things, you know, and she's not even a member of the union, and the union's going to bat for her and fighting for her. But when you make plans and hubby is going to be away for 6 months because he's in the guard, you'd like to think you can take your government's word as its bond, so to speak. Then those 6 months turn into 19 because George started a war that he had no blessed idea how to finish. Army officials say that the cause of the high divorce rate is the stress of combat coupled with long separations and difficulty readjusting to family life. That means when you come back from Iraq and you can't go to bed at night without waking up screaming and thinking that perhaps your lovely wife is an Iraqi insurgent, and you feel this unabating urge to choke the life out of her because you have crushing post-traumatic stress disorder, that's one of the reasons for the surge in divorces. There is a deep concern and some significant resources aimed at helping families survive, says Lieutenant Colonel Peter Frederick, a chaplain. But of course, they're not enough because we know, because we have talked about it time and time and time and time again, that George Bush doesn't give a tinker's damn about soldiers. They are toys. They're little blips on screens. They're not as real as something on his Game Boy. So necessarily the Veterans Administration doesn't have the resources it needs, and neither does the military, because you know what, sunshine, that extra $81 billion we're sending to Iraq isn't Halliburton, and it's about Kellogg burning loot. You understand? There's a bonding that takes place between soldiers, and during that family reunion phase, you've got to make the transition from your buddies, who you relied on for life and death situations. Now it's really time to spend time at home, says Colonel Glenn Bloomstrom, another chaplain. Dennis Orthner is a professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He's studied military families for 28 years. Says he isn't surprised by the rise in divorces. The numbers are right, he says, then we have more to worry about than just fighting a war. We're trying to fight a war with families that are struggling, and that's a real challenge. Wonder how... I'm sure he is well paid since he's at UNC Chapel Hill. Well paid for figuring out that it's a real challenge to try to fight a war with families that are struggling. Hell's bells, of course they struggle. Hubby was making maybe $75 a year, and he was a member of the Guard because he did that, you know, maybe in college or coming out of college for the extra money on the weekends, and he stayed with it because he's a stick-to-it kind of guy. And he rose through the ranks. And so there was no, and he was proud to go out when he, you know, when the Guard called him out. And his employer, of course, tolerated it. You know, there's a hurricane to be cleaned up after, or a tornado just ran through a trailer park. There's work to do, and you're in the National Guard, and it makes you feel kind of proud to do that kind of work to help your fellow man instead of killing him. So you stay in the Guard, and then in 2001, a weaselly little pimple of a human being enters the Oval Office based on a sham election and thinks he has a mandate to rule the world. Well, this is before we ever heard about Jimmy Jeff Gannyguck, and we didn't know exactly what George meant when he was talking about his mandate. But he thinks he has a mandate to rule the world, and therefore the facts were being fixed around the intelligence, according to the Downing Street memo. And George wants to start a little war, since he can't get at the people, you know, his family's former business partners who masterminded 9/11, the Bin Ladens. He can't get at the Bin Ladens, and he can't go after the Saudis, 15 of whom were the hijackers on 9/11. So he's going to go being the ruthless, cowardly, ugly little bully that he is. He's going to go after somebody that he thinks he can whip. It'll be pretty easy. You know, 10 years before, his daddy had gone in and worked over Saddam's regime pretty good. He's pretty well weak. There won't be a whole lot there. And so you got Rumsfeld out there saying, "We'll be welcomed as liberators." And it's going to be an easy war. And like Joe mentioned a little bit ago, he shows up on the deck of the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln in early May of 2003 in front of a banner that says "Mission Accomplished," which, when the White House is called on it, says, "Hey, we had nothing to do with that. The sailors hung it up. Turns out it was manufactured in the basement of the White House." No kidding. And he's there on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln. He flies in like something out of a Leni Riefenstahl movie. And they actually have to turn the aircraft carrier so that you can't see San Diego in the background, so it looks like George had to fly a long way in his little flight suit with the padded crotch. And he stands there and he says, "Mission accomplished." And the dying goes on and on and on. And our man, who was a member of the National Guard because he joined when he was coming out of college because he needed the extra money and thought it would be kind of cool, and he stuck with it because he's a stick-to-it kind of guy, our man gets deployed to Iraq for 9 months, and it turns into 19. Because he just got bitten in the butt by the backdoor draft. George goes around to and speechifies and says things like, "Man, we're turning a corner." Meanwhile, our buddy, who's been drafted for, an extra 10 months of service in the bloody, rotten, stinking, sandy, gritty hell that is Iraq, his employer's not so happy anymore. And the bills are coming due. And the things that they were able to do when he was making that $75,000 a year, his wife can't quite make happen on National Guard pay. And the kids want to know, "Where's Daddy and when's Daddy coming home?" Daddy's out there patrolling in Al Anbar province. And he's watching his squad mates be blown into their constituent parts on a daily basis by people that they can't even oppose or fight, because the geniuses that started the damned war didn't make any plans for the idea that when you invade somebody in their own country, they tend to just shoot at you from behind hedges, just like the American colonists did with the people in the spiffy little red coats about 200 and some odd years. But we didn't make any plans for that. So when he finally gets to come home, if he's got his entire body intact, odds are he might have a little problem or two in his noggin and not really sleep so good at night because he's used to things like mortar rounds going boom near him. And if he hears a car tire squeal on the street by night, well, it's going to be a tough day for the wife. Divorces are up by 28% last year among fronts. 53% from 2000. They're up 78% among the officer corps because they have to sit there and watch their non-coms get blown to smithereens, and there's not a damn thing they can do about it. And meanwhile, George Bush struts around and says things like, mission accomplished, and bring it on, and we're turning a corner, and family values, and I believe in a culture of life, and I want to choose life, and if it's going to destroy life, I don't want the federal government to support it. And sickos with W stickers on their SUVs are thinking they voted for a moron.
Head on.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Boone County man has been accused of stealing tens of thousands of dollars worth of mining equipment from a Pennsylvania company. Federal prosecutors say 26-year-old Christopher Priestley of Seth was charged yesterday with conspiracy witness retaliation charges. The charges are related to the January 04 robbery of New Enterprise, Pennsylvania. Prosecutors say Priestley and two other men stole $25,000 worth of Boone County for resale. If convicted, Priestley faces up to 10 years prison, $500,000 fine. Beckley police continue investigating a rash of home break-ins in the Johnstown Road area. Police say 10 homes have been broken into. Temple Street, two on South Vance Drive, homes on Hartley Avenue, Plough Street, South Kanawha, Maplewood Lane, and 9th Street. The item includes CD, DVD players, and jewelry. Robberies, a resident woke up to find three burglars, one white and two black. The black suspects are both described as about 5'10", slim-billed, and the white suspect is also slim-billed. Traffic moved later this morning in Oak Hill after city police say a tractor-trailer driver was traveling southbound around 3:30 this morning when he apparently lost control, crossed the median into the northbound lane, and then struck a guardrail before striking the Pea Ridge Bridge. The bridge suffered only minor damage. The truck was carrying plastic pellets, and no hazardous material was spilled onto the highway. Police think the driver may have fallen asleep. He was treated. News, here's the forecast. This evening, showers and thunderstorms. Some thunderstorms could contain heavy rain. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some of that should end by around 10 or tomorrow. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, 80. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
I'm Rich Noonan. It's astounding to me how many people still don't know how to safely restrain their children in the car. Do you? The story next.
Got a headache? The relief you need is speeding your way with Advil Liquid Gels.
Liquid fast.
Advil strong.
For tough headache pain, the Liquid Fast Pain Relief of Advil Liquid Gels is faster and stronger than extra strength Tylenol.
Liquid fast.
Advil strong.
Advil Liquid Gels are the only leading brand with real liquid inside. They rush relief right to where you need it. Find out what Liquid Fast Pain Relief can do for you. Advil Liquid Gels.
Liquid fast.
Advil strong. Use as directed.
Let's talk car seat safety. Remember, all children under 12 years old should be placed in the back seat of the car, especially if you have passenger side airbags. Those airbags can kill children. Infants should be in the rear-facing car seat until they're 1 year old or 20 pounds. Children who reach 20 pounds before their first birthday still need to face backwards, but can be moved into a rear-facing convertible seat. After they're 20 pounds and have passed their first birthday, toddlers can use forward-facing car seats until they're about 40 pounds, or their ears reach the top of the car seat. Children over 40 pounds should be placed in a booster seat until they are 4 feet 9 or about 80 pounds. You should not use your child's regular seat belts until they fit correctly when your child is about 80 pounds or 4 feet 9. Remember that and stay safe. I'm Rich Noonan.
When allergies come with...
So you get allergy relief plus advanced...
All the others are missing. Advil.
Don't just stop allergies. Stop allergies.
The defendant, having been found guilty, is sentenced to 7 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 7 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 7 years of not having my best friend to play with.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Yeah, so, Army has no explanation for... Couldn't be that dirty little immoral war, could it? Dirty little immoral wars, patience, don't they? Theory, the non-military bottom of the hill. So it all kinds of... Here's a news flash for the Army. To the same extent, divorces are going to keep going up. No idea why. I mean... But the interesting thing, the final thing, I suppose, about all of this, question for me at least, wonder how the Republicans are going to try. Remember, if you're a Republican, you're out there defending marriage. Yeah. I have a hard time saying it with a straight face, too. Defending marriage. So, this past Sunday, America, gay and Muslim, one or the other or both, is the new Jew. These are the gulag people. These are the people who will be crushed under the boot of fascism. Today, Governor of Texas, Rick Perry, who fended off a little gay scandal of his own, Texas has passed a ugly, nasty defense of marriage. Among the protesters were gay veterans and their partners. We asked the governor, that would be Rick Perry, about his take on gay veterans, many of whom may one day have fewer. Governor Rick Perry of Texas had this to say. Texans made a decision about marriage, and if there's a state that has more lenient views than Texas, then maybe that's a better place for them to live. That filthy, hateful Republican told gay Texans to get out of Dodge. Because the way it works in a fascist state, enemy, a group of them out there. Republicans, otherwise known as fascists, them are Muslims and gay people. Now, back on May the 24th, Molly Ivins wrote, all of her columns are brilliant, wrote one where there was almost entirely a quote. Government, otherwise known as Texas, fucking cover time, the legislature is in session. Can't shake your booty bill past the House, saving us all from the scourge of sex. The state is being run by people who do not know how to govern. And that based on past form, whatever lunacy is going on, Texas will eventually sweep the country. And she's right. Quote from Eisenhower, I wish I had it handy here, talking about any national party that ever tried to kill Social Security would not. But there were a few lunatics and crazies, Texas oil billionaires. You get the... So, the same thing that Rick Perry was talking about, the superfluous anti-gay marriage measure that was added to the state constitution, quotes the remarks of Representative Sinfonia Thompson from Houston. These are some of the most common sense words I have ever heard with finding an oppressible quote. I have been a member of this august body for 3 decades, and today is one of the all-time low points. We are going in the wrong direction, in the direction of hate and fear and discrimination. Members, we all know what this is about. This is the politics of divisiveness at its worst, a wedge issue that is meant to divide. Members, this is a distraction from the real things we need to be working on. At the end of this session, this legislature, this leadership, will not be able to deliver the people of Texas fundamental and fair answers to the pressing issues of our day. Let's look at what this amendment does not do. It does not give one citizen meaningful tax relief. It does not reform or fully fund our education system. It does not restore one child to Children's Health Insurance Program status who was cut from health insurance last session. It does not put one dime into raising Texas's third world access to health care. It does not do one thing to care for or protect one elderly person or one child in this state. In fact, it does not even do anything to protect one marriage. Members, this bill is about hate and fear and discrimination. Listen carefully. We may be sitting here in West Virginia. Ollie Ivins is right. What starts there will come here. Hate travels on a greased rail. As long as there are Republicans in West Virginia, you may rest well assured that that will pass through this state. Members, this bill is about hate and fear and discrimination. When I was a small girl, white folks used to talk about protecting the institution of marriage as well. What they meant was if people of my color tried to marry people of Mr. Chisholm's color, you'd often find the people of my color hanging from a tree. 50 years ago, white folks thought interracial marriages were a, quote, threat to the institution of marriage. Members, I'm a Christian and a proud Christian. I read the good book and do my best to live by it. I have never read the verse where it says, gay people can't marry. I've never read the verse where it says, thou shalt discriminate against those not like me. I have never read the verse where it says, let's base our public policy on hate and fear and discrimination. Christianity to me is love and hope and faith and forgiveness, not hate and discrimination. I have served in this body a lot of years, and I've seen a lot of promises broken. So now that blacks and women have equal rights, you turn your hatred to homosexuals, and you still use your misguided reading of the Bible to justify your hatred. You want to pass this ridiculous amendment so you can go home and brag? Brag about what? Declare that you saved the people from what? Persons of the same sex cannot get married in this state now. The law does not now recognize same-sex marriages, civil unions, religious unions, domestic partnerships, contractual arrangements, or Christian blessings entered into in this state or anywhere else on this planet Earth. If you want to make your hateful political statements, then that is one thing. But the Chisholm Amendment does real harm. It repeals the contracts that many single-paid people have paid thousands of dollars to purchase to obtain medical powers of attorney, hospital visitation, joint ownership, and support agreements. You have lost your way. This is obscene. Last week, Republicans used a political wedge issue to pull kids, sweet little vulnerable kids, out of the homes of loving parents and put them back in a state orphanage just because those parents are gay. That's disgusting. I have listened to the arguments. I have listened to all of the crap. I want you to know that this amendment is blowing smoke to fuel the hellfire flames of bigotry. Sunday, the governor of Texas felt confident enough in hate that flows through that particular state. The Texans made a decision about marriage, and if there's a state that has more lenient views than Texas, then maybe that's a better place for them to live. Don't let the sun set on y'all here, or we'll get us a rope. Those are the people a whole bunch more than you. Tolerate it. Because it's already been here. We were ahead of the curve in setting up our... Now, at what point in time does any state that has one of these hateful laws or amendments to their constitution, does it become necessary to at least indulge in a little bit of scientific inquiry and say, well, you know, we've had this... And when we find out that they have gone up, is there even one member of the legislature in this state or any other, delegate, representative, senator, whatever, moral courage to stand up and slap these so-called traditional family values cretins right across their ugly mugs and say, all right, we tried it your way, now we're going to try it the human being way? Listen to your twisted, convoluted, sick, disgusting, bigoted, prejudiced diatribes for long enough, and now we're going to extend human rights to all the humans. Because that's what you got to get down to, isn't it? That's where you've got to go when you look at all this. And look, you know, they're human rights. They're human rights. And if you are going to be one of these people, I'm defending marriage because of the gay people. If you're going to be part of that, you've got to understand that you have just declared that gay people aren't quite as human as you. And that is bigotry in its meanest, beady-eyed, jug-eared form. Have enough gumption to fire off an email, a letter, pick up the phone, and that the people you elect quit this revolting pandering to a bunch of people who try to control our governmental processes by nothing more than rank and stinking intimidation and terror. We know for a fact that some of these ugly little so-called pro-life bills that were voted on in our own legislature in the last session, we know that the West Virginia Senate would have, they said, you know, if we could have just voted on it, no. Because they're scared to death of the pro-life movement, everybody had to stand. I believe in eliminating a woman's right to choose what goes on in her insides, and I call that pro-life. But I don't have the moral courage that it takes to stand up and demand that we fully fund Medicaid before we give a tax break to the insurance industry. Nope, the moral courage didn't run quite that far, did it? This Texas governor, this Rick Perry, lived somewhere that the chief executive of the state said, if you don't believe the way I believe, way my hateful, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing freak constituents believe, you need to leave. What would you do? Go to the phones. Trish is with us. Hey, Trish, you're head on.
Hello, Bob. How are you today?
No, I'm all right. You?
I'm pretty good. I just wanted to tell you something I heard today that really was troublesome to me.
Okay.
And I know I've only got 30 seconds, so I'll make this fast.
Oh, no. You got all the time you want.
I think Joseph has called into your program before. You know who I'm talking about?
I do.
Okay. I heard him call Steve O'Brien's show this morning when I was on the way to the grocery store, and I was really kind of upset. Did you hear what he said to him?
No, I didn't. Frankly, I'm a nighttime guy.
Well, anyway, you know his situation, correct?
Some of it, yeah.
Okay. And he raised 3 children, and he had a concession stand in the courthouse for many, many years and raised those 3 children by himself, and you know he is blind.
Right.
Anyway, he called in, and he had been notified by the government that he will no longer be able to get his Medicaid check, and now he will no longer be able to get his medicine. And he said he didn't know who to go to for help or who to help him, and that he just didn't know what he was going to do. So I thought I'd pass that on because I've known them for years, and I know
right.
that they were a poor family, and I know he worked hard.
Well, I've met one of his daughters, and she was just a lovely individual.
But anyway, that was real troublesome to me to hear that, you know, we can give it free illegal aliens, but we're going to take it away from a poor American citizen who worked hard.
Well,
and that just really bothers me.
Well, it bothers me that we've got billions for Halliburton.
Yep.
Billions for Kellogg, Brown, and Root. And billions for GE.
Then I heard another lady that called in and said the same thing had happened to her mother, and that she had contacted our senator, and that he had helped her mother get hers back. And that I do hope somebody can help Joseph, you know.
I do, too.
I thought I'd pass it on. If any of your listeners can hear, if it's not down where they cannot pick you up any longer, maybe you could kind of pass it on tomorrow night when you anybody knows who to contact to help Joseph, they'll help him.
Well, he needs to. I mean, it's very simple.
Okay, that's
all right.
I had
well,
to
thanks,
say.
Trish.
Just,
always good to hear from you.
I was troubled about that, and
I understand.
I was right.
We all should be troubled, but then again, voted to do that to him. You understand?
I just don't understand it.
I don't either.
Well,
don't
I'll
either.
Let you go.
All right, thanks,
you're
Trish.
Busy, but
take care.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, indeed. Have a good evening. Tell you. No, he's compassionate conservative. Sorry. Well, that's it for tonight. Yeah, of course, your show tonight, of course, was produced by the inimitable John Kent, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction. If you're working in West Virginia, they are working for you. If you relate it, the ACT Foundation. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. I like to think that, all right, well, you be there, I'll be here. Hey, Agnes.
That's 25.